when I agreed to do this, I immediately had a topic in my mind. But as I've delved into this, I've realized that I'm probably not the best person to give this message. Do you ever have that feeling? There's a whole thing about practicing what you preach, right? And I've realized as I was preparing this that I don't live this out very well. But I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. And going forward, I'm going to try to do a better job with it. The title of the sermon is, How Are You Nice? Now, it's kind of a tricky wording there. It's not necessarily a how-to. Like, I'm not going to give you an instructions on the step-by-step process of what you need to do to be nice. It's more of a question for yourself. How am I nice? What do I do? So immediately the question that came to my mind is, should you be nice to everyone all the time? Right? Now, if you're like me, as soon as I asked myself that question, I thought, oh, no. There's definitely a time where you're not supposed to be nice. Right? And I could name off 10 things in my head. Right? Oh, what if you're trying to hurt one of my kids? Do you think I'd be very nice to you? If I came out there and you were hurting Webster, what do you think? Would I come out there and say, oh, you don't really want to do that, do you? Cheer up. What are you so grumpy about? No, you'd probably get thrown through the wall, right? I'd fall short on the niceness there, wouldn't I? In fact, my own mother, and I think this is fair to say, and I can say this because she's much better now. She's made a real effort over the last few years to be a nicer person. But for a large part of her life, her default mode was mean. Do you know somebody like that? Right? If you have a choice between going the nice route and going the mean route, that person picks the mean route every time. Do you know that person? I grew up with that person. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Sometimes I am that person. There's a nice response. There's a not nice response. Ted usually goes down the not nice response path. This is not a good thing. Okay? Matter of fact, I've told some of you this. I had a cat. I had a tomcat. His name was Mervin. He was a Christmas present. Mervin was the coolest cat ever. He followed me. He was like a dog. I loved Mervin. And when Mervin died here a few years ago, I was genuinely brokenhearted. Like, I was truly sad. As sad as I've ever been in my life. And I couldn't figure out why. It's just a cat, right? And before that, I even said, I don't even like cats. But as I thought about it, I realized the reason I was so sad when Mervin died is because Mervin was the only living creature on the planet that I had never been mean to in any form. At least, not really mean, right? It's always nice to Mervin, although I have to confess, this is the meanest I ever was to the cat. He had this nasty habit of rolling into our bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning and meowing at the top of his lungs because he was Siamese. Meow! 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 It's 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Now, we sometimes could get the cat to just come up on the bed and relax. We'd talk to him, say, Mervin, be quiet, come on. And sometimes he would do it. But sometimes the cat was inconsolable. Always at 3 a.m., and so I hate to admit this, and you're going to laugh at this, and I laugh at it now looking back, but I would keep a stash of pillows on the bed. I used to have just one pillow, my pillow, and then one extra one. But it got to be where now, and I still even have 4 or 5 pillows on the bed, because if he would not stop meowing, I would just launch a pillow at him. Stop it! And throw a pillow at him. And usually that would stop him at least for a few minutes. So, whoa, somebody just threw a pillow at me, right? And he'd go, and sometimes he would come back and start meowing. But I got to where I had 3 or 4 pillows, and I would throw pillows at the cat from 3 a.m. to about 5:30 a.m. for years, right? Right? Didn't seem to affect him, but you could say that's not being very nice to the cat, right? But it's a pillow, so it wasn't hurting him. I'm just trying to get him to be quiet. But the point of it is, he's the only thing that I was ever always nice to. Now, you've all heard this, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. right? What about this? This might not be something you've thought of. Hate, sadness, anxiety, impatience, meanness, evil, disloyalty, cruelty, and self-indulgence. What do you think that is? Me sometimes, right? Me sometimes. Those are antonyms, or the opposite, of all the words that are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, when you choose one of those paths, there's not really a middle ground, is there? Like, I guess there is. You could be indifferent. But usually you're going to wind up on one or the other. Right? Now, probably nobody has listed those antonyms to the fruits of the Spirit for you. Mostly because who wants to think about that? Right? Who wants to think about those terrible things? But back to that original question. Is there a time when being nice isn't appropriate? What does that look like? Well, what does the Bible say about this? Okay. Can you turn the other cheek? You know what that's from? Luke 6:29. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, don't keep your shirt from them, right? Now, be honest. You don't have to say this out loud. If somebody steals your coat, what is your reaction going to be? Is your reaction going to be, hey, you must be cold. Here's my shirt. Have you done that? Maybe some of you have. I've never been able to do that. If somebody wrongs me like that, I always just lash out. I never get to that, right? But the Bible says clearly, no matter what happens, somebody slaps you. Whap! Are you going to just say, oh, you need to get some anger out here, this side too? Do you do that? Not very many of us are good at that, are we? Are we? But that's what the Bible calls us to do. And I think you'll find, at least I have, as I chewed on this question, is there ever a time when it's appropriate not to be nice? It's tough to come up with a legitimate one. Although my son is in the Marines, right? And we got young guys like him out fighting all over the world because it seems like sometimes there's a time when being nice just isn't going to work, doesn't it? But that's not what the Bible says. You can't root out evil with more evil. Ever heard that? Right? So that puts you in a weird spot, especially if you're like me with a son in the military. What do you think about that? I don't know. Some thinking to do there. Okay? So here's another question then. Well, should nice be your default mode then? Even if you can go down that path and come up with something, a situation where you feel very deeply personally that it's not the right thing to be nice. Isn't that now becoming the exception to the rule, right? If you have to try really hard to come up with something, which I think you can agree at this point we do, right? There might be something that's, okay, still in your head. There's still some things in my head. I don't know if niceness would solve that. But the majority of things, you should default to those fruits of the Spirit, right? To niceness. Okay, let's get at it. Now, when I put this in my phone, because I was looking, I always want scripture to back up my points, right? Like that really helps, especially when you're preaching in church. If you get some scripture to back up your points, that'll help you. Well, I found that when I typed that in, just niceness, there's an avalanche of scripture on it. Like it's not even hard to find something, right? In fact, there are so many verses on the virtues of being nice to other people that you can't possibly even write them all down. So what does that tell you? Any thoughts about that? What do you think the message is there then? It's important. If it's a recurring theme over and over and over and over in the Bible, then it's probably pretty important to Christ and our Lord that we're nice to each other. I'll read you a couple. Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, as he forgave you. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Oh boy, that's a tough one for me. But only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to whoever hears it. Right? I found at least a dozen other scriptures right down that line. So I think the choice then is clear. All right, I've decided at least that I have to make a conscious effort to go to the nice path, right? If there's a choice, there's almost always a choice. So what keeps us from doing that? What are some obstacles, right? If you think in your head, well, when I'm not nice, why is that? What's happening? Well, I just saw a thing put out by a very famous YouTube commenter. The title of it was "Don't Be Nice," right? How to be firm and gain people's respect. That was the title of the YouTube. So I watched it. And you know some of those guys, don't you? I knew a guy in Denver that bought my business that he was a tyrant. He was a mean man. I think most people would say that they had respect for him. But was it respect? Was it the right kind of respect, or was it just fear? Were they afraid that he was going to treat them badly? Right? Sometimes when you're not nice, is that what it is? I know for me that's what it is. I'm afraid if I'm nice to this person, they're not going to react the way that I want them to, and they're going to treat me even worse, and they're going to what? Walk all over me. Walk all over me. Any of you had that fear? I know you do. And we use that as an excuse, don't we, to not be nice. I can't be nice to that person. They're always mean to me. If I'm nice to them, it's just going to make it worse. I read a book once called How to Win Friends and Influence People, and then shortly after that, How to Deal with Difficult People, right? And one of the strategies in the book, How to Deal with Difficult People, was if you're acting a certain way and it's not working, just flip. If you're being super nice to the person and they're getting more belligerent and they're yelling at you and it's getting worse, then just flip and start screaming at them and try that and see if that works. Right? This is actual advice. This is a best-selling book. And I went through a good portion of my life trying those strategies. And you know what I think people thought? People probably thought I was crazy. Right? Because there's no rational explanation why this guy was being super nice to me, and all of a sudden his face is red and he's screaming at me. And a minute later, he's telling me it's going to be okay. Right? That's where that advice leads you. If you just flip on people like that, they're not going to understand. I actually, it was so bad a couple of times, I actually told people, hey, because they couldn't understand, like, why did I get so mad? And then why is it gone instantly? One guy said, I've never seen somebody go from being that mad to that nice in that short of amount of time. And I said, well, it was just advice I got from a book. I wasn't actually mad. But I looked mad, didn't I? And he said, yeah, I thought you were totally mad. And he said, why do you do that? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm probably going to stop doing that. It's not a good idea, is it? Okay. So I've got a short video that I would like you to watch. And then we have a little discussion, then we're going to be done. But I hope, my friend Jerry says, you got to tell people what you're going to tell them, then you got to tell them, then you got to tell them what you told them. Okay? So the beginning of my message is, I think you should probably be nice most of the time. Okay? And we've talked about a lot of things there. Now, I'm going to show you this video. This comes from a friend of mine, and I got to give some background here. Yep. You can full screen that, Emily, with the little square there on the, yeah. So don't push play yet because he starts talking right away. This is my friend Brad. Now, his name is Brad Montgomery. He is one of the most sought-after inspirational public speakers in the country at this point. He's spoken to Microsoft. He's spoken to Boeing. He travels all around the country. And basically what Brad does, and I'm paraphrasing this, is he makes people feel better about their work environment that they're in, and he gets them to cooperate, and he gets them to treat each other better and to get more done. He's a motivational speaker. Okay, he gets paid a huge amount of money to do this. Now, that is not how I met Brad. I met Brad when I was 10 years old, and he was in his early 20s, way before he was the motivational speaker that he is now, you know, commanding these six-figure speaking salaries. And he was working at a local magic store, Zizo's Magic Castle. Now, when I was 10 years old, some of you know, I love magic. And so my parents had this brilliant idea that I could take magic lessons. right? And actually, it was partly my idea, too. I said, that would be the coolest thing ever. I was taking violin lessons, right? I said, I don't want to take violin lessons. I want to take magic lessons. How cool would that be? So I, for about 6 years of my life, had a weekly magic lesson from this guy. And so about 3 months ago, and I hadn't thought about Brad maybe one or two times in the last 25 years. I knew he was an awesome guy. I've kind of checked in on him a few times just to see what he was doing. But Connor, my son Connor, loves magic. And I got this little brass box from my grandfather called an Okito coin box. And basically, it's a little magic prop that my grandfather gave me, and he said, if you can learn how to use this, then you're doing really cool stuff. You're going to have to practice hard. You're going to have to work hard. But people are going to be amazed. But then he died shortly after he gave it to me. So I had this brass box from the time I was six. And I had shown enough love in the art of magic that he left his entire collection of stuff to me as a six-year-old. I had no idea what it was for. I just had this brass. This is a little brass box called an Okito coin box. And so when I had my first magic lesson, my friend Brad said, hey, what do you want to learn how to do? And I said, well, I got this box. I got this Okito coin box. And my grandpa said, it's cool, but I have no idea what it's for. I don't know what it does. Can you show me how to use it? What do I do with it? And so he said, oh, yes, I know what that's for. And he showed me this little five-minute-long thing that I was blown away. I was sitting in a TGIF, which is a restaurant, watching him do this magic trick with this Okito coin box with my mouth just wide open. And I think I probably said to him at the end of it, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my life. So he said, well, you're going to have to work hard. I said, my grandpa told me that. But if you practice, it's going to be worth it. So flash forward now. Here we are 30 years later. I've got this little brass box, and Connor loves magic. So I give it to Connor, and I teach him what I learned from Brad 30 years ago, and Connor nails it. He practices every day, and he gets it, and a week later, he can do it. And so I called a buddy of mine, and I said, look, you know, Connor's doing this magic. I need to get a hold of my old teacher. He says, you know, I don't have a phone number, but I got an email address, right? Send him an email. So I send an email to my friend Brad saying, hey, thought this would make you smile. I showed Connor how to use that Okito box. I took a picture of him. I sent it with the Okito box. And this, thinking I would just get an email back, right? This is the response that Brad sent me. Now, bear in mind, this is a little over the top, right? But he's a motivational speaker, and his whole goal is to make you feel awesome. So watch what he does here. Go ahead and push play, Emily.
Ted, it's Brad Montgomery. I've been sitting on your email about the Okito box and your son because I didn't really know what to say. But I can tell you this. It made my heart feel good. So what I remember about you is that everything is fun for you, meaning I remember when that must have been 30 years ago. You know, you were like, oh, it's so great. And I know you were super into woodworking. I hope you still are. And you had such passion for that. And then that passion came through with the photo of your son, the Okito box. That is so fun. I'm going to pass that compliment on to Dave Neighbors, who I think taught me some or all of what I taught you. And I wonder, by the way, if I could still do what you clearly know how to do. I wonder if I could remember how to do it. Anyway, I wanted to let you know, big smile on my face, super proud of you. You sound like a good dad is what you sound like. And I'm glad you checked in. You rock, dude. Well done. We're really proud of you.
Okay. So that, you can imagine how that made me feel, right? Is that awesome? That's awesome. Because it did so many things for me, that message. It made me remember a time when I wasn't so worried about everything. When he said, I remember you just, everything was fun, and you just thought this is awesome. And if I'm honest, I had forgotten that, right? So why am I showing you this video? My point is this. You can really lift the people up around you if you try. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, right? I would say that an honest compliment is a good start, right? You want to be nice to someone. Now, don't patronize people. People see through that. Don't tell them something just to, right? But if it's an honest compliment, I think it could really help. And I think that's a great example, because I felt lifted by that and my countenance changed. And I know for sure that I treated the people in my life better because I got that message. Okay. So that's all I have for you. So to sum it up, I told you I think you should be nice to people, right? I told you why. Now I'm telling you, try to be nice to people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you've given me to dive into this subject of being nice and the clear vision that you gave me of the two diametrically opposed paths that we have to choose from, one leading down the wrong path to being unkind, and one leading down your path, the fruits of the Spirit. I would pray that this coming week you would help each and every person here to remember that in all their interactions with other people, they have a choice, and to help them to choose the path of the fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I got one more song for you. I kind of got double duty today. Are you lifted up by that message? I hope some of you are. I see a lot of people thinking. I see a lot of people going, Yeah. All right, let me wrap this up. If you are confused about what the reason is to live by the fruits of the Spirit, I think as Christians, one of the most powerful tools that we have is to remember what Christ did on the cross for us.